Welcome to the Never Gets Old podcast, the podcast of all we love in TV, movies, music, and comics, with your hosts Matt Jackson and Nathan Schell. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, and YouTube. Donations at paypal.com at macwjackson@comcast.net. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Never Gets Old podcast. I'm your host, Mac Jackson.
And I'm Nathan Schell.
And how the heck are you?
I'm good. I was getting over an odd, summertime cold, go figure.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, not too bad.
Good.
How about yourself?
I'm all right. I had some interesting adventures lately. Actually, you know something I wanted to tell you? I don't know how it came up, but just because it hasn't happened to you yet, I want to see if you notice it. If and when you and Jess have kids,
yeah,
weirdest phenomena happens. Certain friends will disappear from your life.
That's not too surprising.
It breaks our heart because Cindy and I, it's not like you have a falling out with anybody, and it's not like they come right out and say, oh, you have kids now. Oh, yeah, I'm done with you. They don't do that.
Yeah.
Just certain friends that you thought, well, no, because, we really haven't had the kids interfere with our, for lack of a better word, social life. If anything, they might just be upstairs sleeping or, whatever. They don't bother anybody. I have good, well-behaved kids, as you can tell by the quiet while I podcast.
Absolutely.
Granted, hey, if life had it where, too bad, that things changed drastically because of the kids, we'd be fine with that too, but...
Yeah, you just find a way to make it work.
Yeah. But even if it didn't, we'd go, well, okay, we can see, because again, Cindy and I have had 7 years of watching this happen and talking about it, coming up with different fun scenarios of what if it were this way or what if it were that way. And, we kind of try and take it from everybody else's shoes, like, well, what's different from their point of view? And honest to goodness, we keep coming back to nothing as far as, like, it affects them.
Right.
But we had, a handful of people that were surprised at, even to this day, that just went away. And we make the effort of, doing our part, not letting it just happen. Because, all right, if you don't open your mouth and say something, it's kind of your fault, too. You let it happen,
Yeah. Friendships are two-way streets. It's not, one person doing all the work.
Exactly. So we have definitely done our part to make sure that it hasn't happened as far as we're concerned. But it's just amazing. So I thought, I'll be curious, whenever that happens for you, we can revisit this, and you'll notice, like, certain people, you know, well, no, I used to see them once a month. Well, now all of a sudden they become too busy. And
that very well could honestly be part of it. Which I mean, there are some friends that I often get asked, well, you know, you kind of just up and disappeared on us. It's like, no, I didn't up and disappear on you. I mean, I'll use my personal life experience right now, being a, you know, married guy, but not with family. Obviously, that's one factor that I don't have dominating a portion of my time. But, I mean, you know, I've got my business, and I've got the convention prep and planning that I have to do with that, and, you know, the day-to-day operations of it. Well, then, you know, you and I try to get together at least once a week to try to do a podcast whenever we're capable of, which I love the fact that we have now kind of a bit of a...
It cut you out there just for a second. Say that again?
Oh, just cut me out?
Yeah.
I said I love how, you know, you and I have gotten ourselves into a kind of like a pseudo routine where we're trying to at least do a podcast a week, which is fantastic. Now, you know, we may focus on one podcast over the other, but, you know, that happens.
We're still...
But at least we're producing content.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, I've got, you know, you and I do one or two podcasts a week. I've got the business. You know, I've got things that I try to do with my wife. I'm even working on a production of sorts and my own personal creative outlets and such, you know. So it's not so much that I don't have the desire to hang out with these individuals anymore. It's just, quite frankly, it's a choice of, do I spend time with a friend that I'll enjoy hanging out with them, but the entire time I may be thinking, I'm losing time. I'm losing the opportunity to do something. Oh, shoot, what was that idea I had for that plot point or experiment that I wanted to try or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a real shame, but unfortunately, you know, these things happen.
Yeah, well, and see, we're going on the assumption because the only common factor in these people is the fact that it's happened since we've had children.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, nobody's come up and said, oh, yeah, no more hanging out with you. You now have a child. It's not that they don't like kids. It's just something we don't even know. Something happened along the way, and we're thinking it's because we have kids, and now they kind of feel like, well, they have a responsibility and whatever. They're not there when I call at, you know, the drop of a hat to whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a bizarre phenomena that we constantly just scratch our heads and watch and just go, you know, we're actually making an effort. There was this couple, guys, who happened to be gay. Not that that matters. I mean, it's so funny. I have to point out that there are a couple of guys who are an item, married, I believe now. So obviously they're gay, but I bring them up because Cindy and I love and adore these two guys. Just they're salt of the earth, wonderful people. And all of a sudden, boom, I don't know how much of it necessarily had to do with us directly, but they just made a decision that they weren't going to bother with. We used to be part of this food group where certain couples would get together once a month and rotate at whatever house they were at.
Okay.
And then whoever hosted it did the entree, another person did the
appetizer, stuff like that. Okay.
So, and we
sort of like a potluck.
Yeah, but only more of a let's top the last one type of a thing.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like a high end, we're going to wrap bacon around the steak and stuff it with lobster type of a.
All right, you lost me at the lobster. You had me at the bacon and the
salad. Yeah, I'm just saying, good stuff. But, yeah, that was part of our thing. Well, now they don't bother with anybody from that group. I don't know who they bother. And they had come to Mikey's birthday party.
Interesting.
Yeah, they came to his first, the one, you know, said, oh, I'm going to make him a card every year, a handmade card, and promise this, promise that. We're like, great. They'll have a couple uncles, you know, and we haven't seen them since. And we really, really bent over backwards to try and like go, hey, you guys free? We're free.
No, we can't. The one's working, and or you know, oh, it's just hectic right now. We'll try us later. Well, they have a thing set on their phone where it tells you they are dining right down the block from us. And we just thought, you know what? No, you, again, maybe I would love to, if it had been something that we had done personally. I would, you know, cause you'd rather somebody come to you and go, look, here's what happened. I'm not feeling good about you right now. I'm, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But when we know that you guys are down the block from each other, we even said, well, we could just meet quickly. It doesn't have to be a big all night thing. It could just be like, we'll meet for dinner, you know, whatever. Oh yeah, 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 we will. We're just really busy. And then they're down the block having dinner together. Like, okay, so you, in that case, one of our theories is that they just decided that they were only going to bother with each other or maybe other gay couples. I don't know.
Who knows?
And who knows? But to this day, if you run into them, oh, yeah, we'll have to get together. Oh, how you been?
They put on the fake friendly front. Yeah.
So there will be a reckoning for that.
Oh, I'm sure they'll get their comeuppance.
No. I mean, if I have a moment and they run to me, I don't want to do it with Cindy there because then it feels like you're ganging up on them.
Yeah.
But if I run into them at the mall or something and they come up and they're like, hey, I'm like, okay, wait. Just give it to me straight.
nice one.
Or whatever way you want,
yeah.
But say it. Like, because if I offended somebody or whatever, I want to know. Because even if you don't accept my apology, I want to at least, one, be aware.
Yeah.
And two, at least try to say that I was sorry. But I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah, and it just might be for whatever reason. I mean, I hate to say it. Sometimes people just drift apart for whatever reason.
Which is understandable, too. I've had that happen.
I mean, it could be that, you know, in the interim between, you know, Mikey's first birthday and what have you, they realized, wow, you know, we've got a fair amount of stuff going on. Maybe we need to dial back a little bit of, you know.
Yeah, which, again, we completely understand because we've been there, too.
Yeah.
A guy who was, like, my buddy for years since high school, he had to go away. But he kind of forced our hand because when I met Cindy, he said, well, I guess we're not going to be friends anymore. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You were with me when I was with that other girl for 7.5 years. What makes you think it's going to be different now?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to marry her, I could tell, and you won't have any time for me. And I said, that's not true. I can share, you know, I can share my time. I'll still have time for my friends. Well, then he became stalkerish.
Oh, that's never
He good. Became scary stalkerish and like, He wouldn't take the hint. I'd say, okay, well, we're buying a house this Saturday, or we're moving. We have to move in. You're welcome to help if you want, but I'm not going to have time to hang out with you this Saturday.
Yeah.
Give me a week or two. Well, then he would call and text and like, hey, how about now? Hey, how about now? I'm like, I'm carrying a box into my new house. No, Mr. Needy. And then it got to the point where he was overcompensating and showing up at Cindy's work to give her presents to say that he was sorry for being a problem. Oh.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And then I would say, okay, enough of that now because you're going to get her in trouble because you want to apologize for something you didn't have to apologize for. You don't show up at somebody's work.
Yeah.
And then he'd send another gift. It got bad. It got scary enough that I actually pictured him sitting on the front porch of my front porch with a shotgun waiting for me to come home. Like rocking back and forth.
Wow.
Oh, and
that's like horror story.
This is right before we were getting married. He was supposed to be in the wedding. And I had to call him up and say, okay, so I release you from your obligation because we can't do this anymore. You need to stay away from
me. He cost himself the friendship.
Well, and I kept trying to make it work. No, you got to understand. He's just socially awkward, this, that, and the other thing. And then once I got that vision in my head of him on the front porch and then Cindy saying, no, you know what? He scares me now. I went, okay, enough. Done. Like, I've been more than patient.
Yep.
You know. And then even then, it took it was to the point where I'm like, next step, I actually have to be physical with him, and I'll have to physically scare the crap out. If it means kicking the crap out of him. You know, like in the Lifetime movies where they just don't get the hint, and they just keep showing up. It was almost that.
Wow.
And you know that part where whenever you watch one of those movies, you go, okay, well, right here is where I would kill them. It was creeping up on that moment for me.
Right. Like, right here's the line. Right here's the line, and here I am about to cross it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then even, like, a few years later, I'm outside shoveling or something, and he pulls up. I was with another friend, and he's like, hey, did you get my email? I said, no, my email changed. What? Life's kind of been tough for me lately. I'm like, yeah, well, life is tough all over. He's like, well, my grandmother died, and this, that, and everything. I said, whoa. Okay, you want to compare notes? Cindy's father passed away a month after the wedding. On our honeymoon, we both lost our jobs. And I just start going down the list of things.
Right.
So I don't want to hear that's, you're not going to guilt me into being your friend again. Hit the road.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame too, because you hate doing that to another human being, but at least there, he's got a clear reason of you made this happen.
Yeah.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. Is
ironically, of all things, he's the one that made the remark, and then he
made it happen.
Yep, he fulfilled it.
And then, but there are other times where you just like, wouldn't you rather have the respect of someone telling you to hit the bricks?
Yeah, I mean, if I had a friend of mine come up to me and say, "Hey, look, I can't deal with you as a friend anymore because of X, Y, or Z," I'm like, okay,
right,
that sucks. That really sucks. But you know what? I can respect the fact that you came up to me and you handled it like an adult.
Exactly.
Now, if you did what, unfortunately, the large majority of our nation has started doing, oh, well, you don't agree with me because of this frivolous, stupid BS thing on Facebook. You're off my friends list and you're out of my life. Really? You're gonna unfriend me because I like the toilet paper flipped, you know, type B instead of type A.
Right.
You're okay. That tells me you didn't value the friendship in the beginning, or to begin with anyway. Goodbye. You know.
Yeah, and also kind of like they're doing you a favor.
Yeah. But yeah, it just always makes me laugh when I see the mature side of the internet.
Yeah.
And I say that in quotation marks.
and with our political situation as it is, not that I want to get into that, but
oh my God!
It's so hard just to navigate those waters without going.
I will say that this year, or this political debacle, insanity, whatever adjective you want to use, has led to some very amusing commentary, comedians, and just the general populace.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I start to lose respect of certain friends or Facebook people that I'm quote unquote friends with on there, whether they're acquaintances or whatever, when I see them holding up a political flag of some sort. I'm like, really? I thought you were smarter than that. It's not a matter of, oh, you don't believe what I believe. No. This isn't like the previous years where you had to vote for Obama or somebody else. That's fine. You don't have to agree. We talked about how scary this is now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, what's terrifying to me is the people that rally behind one flag or another, and they're just pushing the rhetoric.
Yep.
They don't actually have a free-thinking thought for themselves. Like, I got into an argument with somebody. Now, you know, I was planning on voting for – I'll freely admit it. I was planning on voting for Bernie Sanders. Now, unfortunately, it does look like he's probably not going to get
out of the three, that was the one – who I would have gone with, too.
Yeah, and it's not because, you know, I'm a democratic socialist or anything like that. It's because I sat down. He actually caused me to think. And if I ever get the chance to talk to him, I would actually thank him because he got me interested enough that I actually started doing the research. And I actually started looking at track records and, you know, were people putting their money where their mouth was and stuff like that. And he really is one of the few people that I saw, anyway, that would stick to his guidelines, his moral compass, as it were, and stuff.
Yes.
And that that impressed me. Now, you know, I got into an argument with somebody because they just kept spouting somebody's rhetoric left and right, and I just, like, okay, well, why would you be voting for this individual? Well, they're going to do this. You know, they're going to make this happen. Like, really? How? Well, they're just going to do it.
Right.
That's not answering my question.
Exactly.
That's going off of faith in that individual, which, looking at that individual's track record, you'd see that speaks differently to begin with. But, you know, and it's just, it was funny because I was seeing more and more of my friends do this. I'm like, all right, that's it. I'm done. I'm not, you know, I won't get into it with people on Facebook anymore. I'll just amuse myself at the moronicness that is running rampant.
Right. And that's, it's just, like I said, I'm like, don't, wow. It's not a matter, like I said, not a matter of difference in who you care for. It's just any sort of natural respect that you're supposed to have for your fellow man goes right out the window when I see it. I'm like, you're holding up a big banner and with the big stupid look on your face, and I saw underneath this one person's picture, somebody did what you did. Could you explain to me, not that I want to get into a debate, but can you tell me why you support them?
Yes.
Well, I do. I've liked them even before they ran for president. Okay.
Okay.
So
why?
But because you like them, you're supporting them. Well, I think we all have it. We can all believe and follow who we want to follow. Yes, but you're not answering my question. I'm asking. Yeah. Give me the bullet points of what you think they can do that the other person can't. Well, I think America needs a change. Okay, how? What are they going to do?
And with that same logic, I love and adore Scarlett Johansson. Does that mean I think she'd make a good president?
Exactly.
No, I think she'd be the hottest damn fine-looking
first lady.
Yeah, but I don't think she'd, you know, feel comfortable running a, you know, country.
Exactly.
Now watch, 20 years from now, she'll be running for president.
Well, within 20 years, things can change, so.
Exactly, you never know. She might get a vested interest, who knows. But yeah, it's crazy. And I'm seeing friends who can't rub two brain cells together talking about this whole thing with Brit exit.
Which I'm still trying to understand. I Saturday, and I could tell you this in a minute, but Saturday I went to a, I was invited to go to a jam session with a bunch of the guys from the place where I go play.
Duffy's.
And we all, you know, get together with our guitars, and it was at the end of this guy's son's graduation party at a fire hall.
Okay.
So we all gather around and are gonna just trade
songs. For those of our listeners that aren't familiar, fire halls are like places where, you know, groups get together here in PA. We're a little weird.
Well, everybody knows what a fire hall is, but yeah, we'll use
most people outside of PA don't actually. I had to explain.
Oh, you know where the fire trucks go? There.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I have to actually explain to my wife why we were going to a wedding reception at a fire hall.
Oh.
That was fun. but anyway, continue.
Yeah, it's one of your cheaper venues.
Exactly.
So, all right, so I show up and bring my guitar and all. And we're all, you know, eventually we're going to trade off songs. Oh, here's a song we can all do together. Ba 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 ba. Okay, now you do one. I get there and I end up sitting at a table with strangers who were nice enough to say, you could sit here with your food and eat. So we got talking, and then all of a sudden that whole thing came up. And I said, okay, this just happened, and I don't want to sound like a moron. Educate me. What is the idea? And apparently they, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going to just repeat what I heard.
Okay.
The people of Britain broke away from the union because they didn't want to be told what to do is basically the...
That's the very nitty-gritty of it. One of the main factors that I know a friend of mine who, she lives in England, she, one of the many things that were coming up that she didn't appreciate was they were going to be making, if you were a British citizen, if you had in your house, say you have a 3-bedroom house, you and your wife and your children, you know, or your child, take up two of those bedrooms. Well, you have a spare room in your house. You would be looked at and said, okay, you have to take in a refugee.
No!
And that's pretty much what everybody's reaction is. Now, I'm seeing a lot of my friends commenting on, oh, well, way to go, Britain, you just tanked the U.S. or the world economy. No, they didn't. If there will be repercussions on the other economies, but the economy that's going to be hosed, unfortunately, is going to be the British economy.
Right.
And the beauty of it is, realistically speaking, this vote shouldn't have affected any kind of economy. Our own elections don't affect our economy that damn much.
Right.
So it's just, it's a whole hot mess, and unfortunately, the people that are making it out to be what it's being made out to be aren't doing their, they're not doing their audience justice by just taking the time and actually talking to the British people that they may know, or hell, reach out and talk to people that, you know, you might otherwise not have. You know, the only reason I knew about it was one of the girls I played games with on Xbox. I got to talking to her, and she said, oh, guess what I just did? I just, you know, updated my paperwork for voting. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's actually kind of cool, because just at that, roughly around that time, I'd gotten my voter registration card in the mail and everything. And so we had that kind of commonality. I said, well, out of curiosity, what's up with your voting system? How's it working? Also, and I got the whole rundown, and it's like, okay, that's kind of cool. It's a little different than how we do things over here, but not terribly different, you know. And it's just, it's a very eye-opening experience.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that one of the ladies said, and I don't know if this is her own rhetoric or what, but she said that one of the things that didn't help or, in her opinion, pushed the final decision to break away was, I guess, President Obama went on and did a speech saying, so if you know it's good for you, you won't secede from the Union.
And I have not heard anything of that.
And she said that they were like, oh, yeah, don't tell us what to do. That's what we're fighting against. And basically, yeah, but again, I kind of took that as, I think you're guessing. I wouldn't blame any one person.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, yeah, so Saturday I go to that, and it was great. We all sat around and traded songs, and, you know, here's the thing, though. What I guess we were all trying to do was, if I'm going to play a song, let it be one that's easy enough for everybody to follow.
Right.
And hopefully, I mean, they were aiming also for songs that everybody knows.
Yeah, you want people to be familiar with it.
Well, the people who were supposed to leave from the graduation party decided to stick around. I don't know if it was because of us or in spite of us, but they did. And so, you know, they're singing their songs, and but when I sang mine, because my voice can carry, I wasn't screaming or anything, but I can hold it strong, you know. This is what I was told afterwards. One of the guys came over and said, you know, they can't hear the rest of them, but they can hear you play, and they like it. Because I could hear, you know, in the way in the back. I thought, oh, that's nice. People are paying attention.
Nice.
We weren't performing for them, but it was nice to hear, ooh.
It was appreciated.
You're doing Annie's song. Oh, yeah, and I got applause of that. I did Country Roads to start with. And so, yeah, and people were happy. Got a lot of nice compliments. And it was started at, say, 6, so we started to play around 7. And then he had the hall until midnight. And it was good up until the end, when the guy who was hosting it, and he tends to do this a lot, I'm noticing, put his foot in his mouth, and not in a cute, charming way, but it's towards the end of the night. And we're, again, all having a good time. Now, the last remaining people are standing up and standing around us, sitting and listening while they're talking, but they're, you know, they're enjoying it. And they're singing along when it's a song that they know. Well, I do Harry Chapin's song, I Want to Learn a Love Song. Well, the one guy, Tony, he knows it, or at least knows it enough to fake the chorus and sing the harmony.
Okay.
which, you know me, I'm a sucker for harmony. So yeah, do more, you know, he was doing that the whole night. So we do that, and it's great, and everybody had a good time, and everybody got all swept up in the moment. He goes, oh, you know what another song is that I know of his? They Call Her Easy. I said, oh, okay. I do that one. Do you want to do that one? Yeah. I said, okay, fantastic. So I go to do it, and the host decides he's going to be, I hope he was trying to be funny. And he's, like I said, he's done something like this to me before and just got rude. I think I told you the one time he said, the same guy who said, is that your only guitar? Because it sounds like crap. And it was
I remember you mentioning that too.
Yeah. It was a nylon string. So it's softer, so it doesn't chime the same as a steel string. Well, now I have my steel string, so he can't say a word. Same guy.
Okay.
Says, whoa, wait a minute. Make sure he says it in front of everybody. So everybody can hear him. The show, for lack of a better word, stops, halts. Well, he goes, what song? Whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, is this a depressing song? I don't think anybody wants to hear you do that song. I said, do you know the song? No, but I think we're good, right? Everybody here wants to have songs that they could sing along to and enjoy. And I went, all right, up yours. I won't do it. Took the capo off the guitar and I sat there. And I thought, I don't want to have a hissy fit. I feel like crap right now.
Right.
Someone is very vulnerable, wants to perform a song. I've had to tolerate people who can't sing, people who can't play. You sit there and you smile and you just let them.
You just grin and
mirror. It's a couple minutes out of your life that you can make somebody happy.
Yep.
This guy doesn't know anything about this song.
Right.
And he decides to say that. I mean, oh, are you vulnerable right now? You wanna share a little bit of your soul? No, we're good. Thank you. No, 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 no. And in front of people, so they're like, you could tell, like, he made himself look like an a-hole. And I'm hoping he knows that.
Well, if not, our listeners certainly do.
Well, sure. But I just thought, I sat there for a minute while they moved on to, I mean, it's only three or four of us left at this point. I just thought, no, I'm not happy. Am I, you know, you start to really make sure, am I going to be upset about this and do I have a right to be? Am I being too sensitive?
Yeah, you run through the process in your head.
Yeah, am I being too sensitive? I thought about it through the next song. No, I'm not being too sensitive. That was a scumbag, jerky thing to say. And I'm going to go home now. Now, why would I stay here and feel bad?
Yeah.
There's no benefit to me sticking around right now. So I very quietly put my guitar back in the case. He goes, whoa, where are you going? Where are you going? I said, I'm going to head home. Well, we have the place until, this is around 11:30. We have the place until midnight. I said, no, I'm good. Thanks. You know,
yeah.
I kind of got a sense that he at least got the vibe that he messed up, because everybody else gets up to say bye and give me some very nice compliments. And he's like, isn't he the man? He's the man. Yeah, he's the man. Woo! And I thought, You know you messed
now,
up.
Now you're trying to backpedal.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you're overcompensating. Just say you're sorry if you know you messed up. I'll forgive you, but you keep doing this to me. And especially since I'm a guest at his thing.
Yeah.
You don't step on somebody, like, you know?
No, you don't.
And I'm making sure everybody has a say, because the one guy goes, well, we don't have to go in order. I said, I'd like to, because that way Bill and Andy, they're across the room. If we go back and forth, they just sit there. And they're the type of guys who are polite enough to just get trampled over, and they won't say a word.
Yeah.
They'll grin and bear it like good soldiers, but they don't deserve that. They should have a say. Your turn. Do you have a song? You could say no and pass it on, but you need the opportunity.
Yeah.
So that ticked me off.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's...
That's rude.
Thank you.
It's absolutely rude.
I've checked with a couple people, and they're like, wow, what an a-hole. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have just censored myself. I would have just... You know me. I don't hold back my language.
Right. Well, I wanted to be the classier of the
two. Oh, I completely get that.
Inside, I was like, you know what? you're an a-hole, and I'll tell you you're an a-hole. But I thought, okay, just take my ball and go home. And
I mean, nothing of that scale, but I kind of deal with that at the part-time gig or part-time job that I work at. I'll go in there and I'll be informed by one of my coworkers, oh, by the way, guess what happened, you know, last night or the night before? I'm like, okay, what? You were thrown under the bus. Really, you know, because when I get in there, you know, I leave here about 9:30. I get into there about 5 minutes later. So I show up to work about 20 to 25 minutes early. Show up, start getting to work right away. Go in, start unloading the skids, start throwing freight up on the shelves and stuff. And I make the store look presentable. Customers walk by, say hello, how are you? They look like they're bewildered or confused. I ask if I can help them. You know, the very polite, courteous things you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Well, I've been informed by a couple of my coworkers that an individual throws me under the bus often. Oh, well, I didn't do that section. Nate did. I'm like, huh, it's interesting. I've been doing this particular job situational setup for the better part of a year and a half now, and I can tell you by counting on one hand, without raising the thumb, how many times I've touched those particular sections that I've been accused of, and it's generally when this individual is not around. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So, I didn't say anything to this individual. I didn't say anything to this individual. And then one night, I am told by this guy, you know, by another coworker, oh, by the way, again, yesterday you were thrown under the bus because, you know, applesauce, you know, there was something put on the applesauce shelf that had been discontinued. And I'm like, oh, really? I haven't touched applesauce in 6 months. And that's my fault. And I went right to that individual, and I, right in front of everybody, be damned the consequences, I lit into, and I said, I never want to hear about you throwing me under the bus again. Well, boyo, guess what ended up happening just recently? I was informed yet again, I was thrown under the bus. Well, the beauty of it is, I pay attention, and I've noticed quite often, I would say, the better part of a mile in the time that he'll take to do basically a third of the aisle.
Yeah.
For one of the sections. Now, the way the aisles are set up, they're set in 8 foot segments where this is where all the dry, you know, soup mix, this is where all the broth goes and all that stuff. Well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. What we'll do is I'll take the right side, he takes the left side. With the exception of the small Campbell soup rollers and the applesauce down at the end. But that's because the left side has 4 sections that we don't need to do anything to, with the exception of just pull the stuff forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're, like, it's a vendor item, or it's a different department's section, but we just make it look pretty. So we basically split that aisle. But I typically can blow through my section and downstock it in the time it takes him to get roughly close to where he'd be ready to do the swing over to catch the last bits, you know. So, Friday morning, last week, one of the buddies that I work with on our shift, we went through and we dominated our section, or we dominated the one section, and we left. And I looked at the one guy who usually gives me the heads up, oh yeah, you were thrown under the bus. I said, just a point of fact, I'd like you to pass it along the food chain. The individual that often throws me under the bus was still in the second 8 foot section of this aisle, and he and I went through and did the rest of the aisle. All he's going to have to do is top stock it.
Right.
And the guy just kind of looks at us dumbfounded, like, you guys weren't dicking around? Like, no, we weren't. You know, and it's I don't know if the guy's doing it subconsciously just to save his own ass. I don't think it's malicious, because for the most part, he and I get along. I mean, I think he could pick up the slack sometimes, but, you know.
Sure.
He's an alright guy. But yeah, it's just, it's bothersome.
Yeah.
So.
Just a couple of production notes, just I want to tell everybody about. At the top of the song, as the intro song, I used a new, as you've heard me say in the past, the Monkees have a new album out. Good Times is what it's called. So I chose one of the bonus tracks. If you go on iTunes to get it, you can get it at the store, but the benefit of getting it on iTunes, you get two extra songs. One of them is a faster version of the song Me and Magdalena, which is Mike Nesmith singing lead and Mickey doing harmony. So that's the song that you hear at the top of the hour. Top of the podcast. We're going to go beyond an hour right now. So I'm like, wait, top of the hour. We don't do hour podcasts here, typically. So, check out their new album, Good Times. It's doing excellent on the charts for those who care about such a thing. I love every track off of it. Also, friend of the podcast, who is also a fellow Harry Chapin supporter, Larry Baker, has a new book out, and he sent me a copy, signed it and everything, because he knows. Because he knows about me with Harry Chapin, and he signed it. And it's inspired in part by Harry Chapin, and it's called A Good Man. So if you want to check out a nice read, Larry Baker is the writer. Oh, he also, by the way, last week sent me a wristband. You could sign the petition to get Harry Chapin into the Songwriters Hall of Fame, which I think is just a given. I don't know why anybody would even hesitate. But he either made them or got a hold of the wristbands and is sharing them with people. All you have to do is ask. So if you go to his page on Facebook, if you find me, he's one of my friends, so that makes it easier out of all the Larry Bakers. And he sent me one. It says Harry Chapin on the one side, and then the address for Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Cool.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure I gave credit where credit was due. I want to talk about comics, and I also want to talk about movies, because we haven't touched on them in a while.
No, we haven't.
And I know that you've seen probably all the movies I have.
More than likely.
Okay, so let me catch you up with my reading pile. It's dawned on me, I have an iPad that I read my comics from, and if I download them at home, even though I don't have internet connection at work, I could bring the iPad to work and read them on my break.
Yeah.
So, with that genius thought in mind, I got through Robin Eternal.
Nice.
Did you read that?
Yes, I did.
What were your thoughts?
I thought it was a really good way of having a Batman story without actually having it focused where it was his teachings to, basically his protégés, primarily Dick Grayson. I like the reintroduction of other characters from the Batman mythos.
Cassandra.
Cassandra,
Azrael.
Azrael was kind of weird, but, I mean.
Mm-hmm. I always hate it. I think a lot of people do. Always hated Azrael, but I like him the way I like my Lobo. I want him to be an occasional villain.
Yeah, and popping every now and then. Like for this story, he worked very well.
Yep.
Does
not need to have his own series.
No. I like how they kind of flushed out some of the other characters, primarily Blue Jay, I believe her name is.
Yep. Yeah, they kind of wrapped up her story. I hope she goes away now.
I'm thinking she'll. They're getting very close, or they're just at the infancy of the whole rebirth thing right now.
Yeah, which we have to
talk about. I think she's going to end up being an occasional pop-in for, like, Birds of Prey or something like that. She'll be around periodically, kind of like what she was to begin with.
You know what I wouldn't mind her being, honestly, if we're looking for homes for these characters? She could be the new Oracle.
That could be That could be good.
Because that we don't need another teenage girl running around. We have enough of that. Batgirl and Cassandra. Spoiler, even.
Spoiler, yeah.
I was never crazy about, but if she's handled well, then I'm all for her. So yeah, I mean, Blue Jay was just one of those,
Yeah, where does this cog fit in the...
Yeah, like you're not needed, you're not really wanted. The Robin Eternal story was probably her best story, which I guess was what Scott Snyder was planning on when he created her. You know?
Yeah.
Like just so that he could tie all that into be the main thrust of, she was made to be a Batman partner. She was going to be a Robin.
Yeah.
And I like the logic of Batman. Like, okay, first of all, I didn't want that. Second of all, even though she's thrown in my lap, I'd rather give her the gift of a normal life.
Yeah.
And then instead of her, she doesn't want to be part of my war. All the Robins that are in my war with me chose to be. I didn't make anybody be. I thought that had to be said because I love that. I read that in just a couple days. I mean, all issues. All
now that you figured out you could actually use your iPod at work.
Well, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of on your break or lunch, people want to sit with you. Well, I'm not going to say buzz off. I'm reading. So, you know, plus at night, if I can find the time to read. But man, once you lay down, you get sleepy.
Yeah. I find when I go to a convention, I'll take my tablet with me, and I'll just tell Jess, or if we're rooming with somebody, like, hey, I'm going to stay up and I'm going to read a comic or two, but I'll dial the light down so it doesn't blind and wake everybody up, you know.
That's nice. So I read that, and another thing I wanted to do, I wanted to read that. I jumped out of my month-to-month just to catch up on certain things. I'll go back to the October and et cetera. I read all of that. And I read all of Justice League up until issue 50, because before you read Rebirth number 1, they tell you you should read up to issue 50 of Justice League.
Yeah, that's like one of the major story arcs that would help if you've finished.
Yeah, and the Superman one I'll get back to soon, but I didn't need to read that in order to read Rebirth. But Justice League is so epic. Jeff Johns, I mean, sheesh, I love his writing. He makes everything. Not only, and him writing Rebirth too, I noticed too. His pacing, his formatting of the boxes.
Yeah.
Like somebody's talking, he'll use a beat just to zoom in on their eyes for their reaction and then move on to the next, you know, like, There's a rhythm that he intentionally
was able to capture. Yeah.
It's not just panel with words, panel with words, panel with words. He sets a mood. And so with Justice League, you really felt like, ooh, this is epic. And like things got from bad to worse to where you're like, I don't know how they're getting out of this.
But yeah. The whole thing with, Power Ring.
Uh huh.
That was something unexpected.
You thought she was dead?
I thought she was a goner because they'd said, you're only going to have 1 second. Well, she used that to her advantage and damn.
I thought that was really good because, I mean, even the fact that the Flash runs over and is holding her dead body. And like, oh, no, she's not the one who's dead. It's the ring that's dead.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's like, oh wow, okay.
And he would make you forget about certain characters that might have been standing around, like the Flash as the Death Racer, Black Racer.
Yeah.
But you didn't see him all the time. But when he needed to go, hey, by the way, yeah, someone's gonna die soon. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
And then he separates from the Flash and runs after the Flash.
And just starts chasing the Flash. At that point, I'm like, oh, Christ, not again, not another Flash, you know.
Don't die.
I mean, haven't we lost enough? I mean.
Yeah, honestly.
But yeah, I really enjoyed that story arc. The just kind of mind-blowing thing with Darkseid. That totally caught me by surprise.
I thought that was
wait, what?
It added so much to just the character's mythology. Wonder Woman has a brother. Darkseid died and came back in a host body. There are three Jokers.
Yeah, I told Jess that because she's a huge Joker fan. She's like, I'm like, think about it though. It makes perfect sense. That way people can have their Cesar Romero Joker. They can have their whatever the hell Jared Leto Joker is going to be. And then, you know, like the Heath Ledger type. Each one could be the quote unquote extreme of that particular personality trait that people loved.
I agree. And it also, it helps fill in because when they originally had the Joker, he was just a killer. And then obviously in the 50s and 40s,
the 50s, 60s,
he was lighthearted and just a prankster. And then the 70s, he went back to being...
Had a bit of a dark edge to him again,
deadly then, And then since then, they have variations of whether he even cares about being funny or if he just, is only using the name, but he just goes around killing. Just everything. And it's interesting because I remember them saying that they were going to reveal in issue 50 the Joker's true name. Because remember, Batman asks the chair, who is the Joker? And he says, impossible.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and that's all that they leave it at. And it's just like, holy crap, what did they go with? And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they're gonna pay the homage to Tim Burton's Batman.
Okay.
You know, give him the name of Jack Napier, you know. Which I would have been fine with. I would have been like, okay.
Sure.
It bugged the crap out of me that Tim Burton did that, but at least the comics are, you know, paying respect.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I don't think we necessarily need to know what the Joker's name is because
it's like Jason, it's like Freddy, it's like Mike Myers. You don't need to know their motivation. You don't need to know too much because it'll take away from what makes them menacing.
I was just about to use Wolverine as an example. They answered a lot of questions in the last few years. But now what? Now what do you do? There's no mystery anymore, and they quote-unquote killed him. So,
I mean, the character's still a beloved character. We just now pretty much know almost everything about him now.
Exactly. And also they filled in that all his whole history of everything we've already known. Like, he was always, how old is he? We don't know. Well, where is he from? Canada. When? I don't know. Well, what about his years before Weapon X? I don't know. Well, now we do.
Farmer, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, right. You know, I wouldn't want them to do that with the Joker, because again, now you know too much, but I'll be curious to see what they do with three Jokers, how long that'll last.
Yeah.
How long, what they're going to do.
And that's the ultimate question, like, how long will these changes last before something gets changed?
Sure. Or at least, not change as in New 52 change, but change as in naturally play out and then go back to the way we knew it some logical way.
Yeah. Have you read Rebirth yet?
Oh, that was my next book I was going to talk to you about. But before we do, I just want to say something I've said before. When I read Robin Eternal, if I had to complain about anything, it's not the writing. It's the fact that it was done, unfortunately, when Dick Grayson was not Nightwing. He's stupid spiral guy who nobody...
Yeah.
Spy guy.
That was kind of that was a frustrating aspect of it all.
I don't feel like we're getting the full... Give me Nightwing. Give me Nightwing standing next to Tim Drake as Robin, not freaking Red Robin with the Red Wing hawk wings.
Thanks. Yeah.
And, I love Red Hood Jason Todd as a bad guy. I don't like this whole, I'm the Guy Gardner of the Batman family. I'm mouthy and I annoy people, but I'm still part of the family. That's fine for Guy Gardner. But Jason Todd came back as Judd Winnick did, I think, his best work with Under the Red Hood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. Not only did you bring him back, but you made him so cool and so interesting and so tragic. Because Batman, if you keep him as the bad guy, he has something over on Batman. Batman's going to keep trying to save you. You're going to try and kill him, but he's still going to keep trying to save you. And now I don't understand why they would be in the same room together, where Batman's like, you're going to behave, right? Yeah, rubber bullets. Okay, so then what's your edge?
Like, with the, yeah, it's nothing. Almost as if they've neutered him.
Yeah, and if you neuter him, he's ineffectual, and if you make him the way he should be, he's not going to be part of the Bat team.
Nope.
He's the Lobo type of character where Doomsday, Bane, have them come in once in a great while when they can do something earth-shaking and magnificent, but they make them go, let us miss them a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard the conversation I was having with Chuck Dixon. We talked about that. Saying about Bane. Bane, just like Darkseid, or not Darkseid, but Darkseid 2, Doomsday. If you show them all the time,
it takes away the magnitude of their
effect. Yeah. Especially when you watch the way people write Bane now. Bane comes in for an issue, gets beat up somehow, and then leaves. Like, that's not Bane. Bane is Batman's equal. You know? And so, Jason Todd is also one of those that should be part of the rogues gallery, unfortunately. He doesn't see himself as the bad guy, but he's not going to be hanging out in the Batcave.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, those were the problems I had. Everything else I loved about...
Yeah, it was a very well developed, very well played out story.
And through that whole thing, I'm like, kill mother. I hate her. Kill her.
Oh,
heartless, brutal.
I cheered.
Right?
Yeah, I was like, and I thought I was crazy, but, you know, I may have gotten loud when I cheered.
Yeah, no, that's exactly, that's what the book should do. And I'm like, you know, she played her part. I never liked them necessarily killing off bad guys, but her, she had the shot.
She's one that they would have ended up doing her a disservice if they would have saved her.
Yep. Yep, and the fact that she already knew Batman's secret identity, like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so now you have to die.
Just, yeah, I mean, she gets out, she's going to ruin lives.
And I'll be curious to see if they do anything with... Remember how Lex Luthor knew that Bruce Wayne was Batman?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be curious to see if they retro that or have him get a memory loss or something, because that didn't quite play out other than him getting his way into the Justice League. And now he's not part of the Justice League, so what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
Right? You know. I mean, Batman being stubborn and never admitting it doesn't make it any less something that Lex Luthor knows.
Yeah.
Let's get into Rebirth, issue 1, which I read, I read it all yesterday. And that's a nice, thick book.
That is a very... stuffed book. I mean, there's a lot going on in it.
Thank you, Jeff Johns. I knew it would be, because anything he touches, I'm like, oh, you're getting your money's worth.
And yeah.
Thank God he's in charge of these movies now, because he cares about the things that we care about.
Absolutely.
With the new 52, I didn't hate it, but I do felt that they missed certain opportunities. They made changes that were bad changes. Some were good, some were fine. But, like, you don't get rid of Cassandra. You don't get rid of Wally West. I mean, Wally, really? Let's let Wally West be. Like, and they did it. They brought him.
Yeah, and I love how through, in essence, the whole damn book was really a Wally West story.
Yep. Is it? Now, this is part of how many issues, do you know?
I don't know if this is an ongoing thing or this is kind of like the prelude to the whole entirety of Rebirth.
No, because, well, we'll get into it, but there's questions that were asked that now they have to address.
Yeah, but are they going to be answering them in an ongoing Rebirth storyline, or are they going to be answering them in the respectful books?
Well, okay, let's think about the very last page.
With the...
Yes.
The thing? Yeah.
Like, that's not something that you just go, oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, okay, well, I have read, I think it was Batman Rebirth issue 1. I think think it was Batman Rebirth.
See, I didn't get there yet. I'm right now I'm reading the rest of the Batman all the way up to 52, and then I can read Rebirth. So. Yeah.
And they have not answered that yet, but some of the things that they're... Detective Comics and I think Action Comics are going back to the original numberings.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Which is kind of weird if you're looking at the numbering. It goes from like 800 and something to 0 to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, da, 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 and all of a sudden, we're back to... Now we're at 900 and something because we did the... interjecting of those issues.
And what they did inside, if you have a small print, they kept the original numbers. Isn't that funny? Like, they hedge their bets. They're like, let's just keep putting...
Just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah, the beginnings of some of the storylines that I've read, I'll be interested to see how it all plays out.
And it seems like they're basically... taking the best of the new 52, but giving us back our original, you know, tweaking it, updating the original.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's something that they almost need to do to appease everybody.
Yes. Okay, so let's see. Let me go through the story. So Wally West is stuck in the Speed Force.
Yes.
And I love it's all because of Flashpoint.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. They bring it up. They're like, yeah, everything changed with Flashpoint, as we know, but something else snuck through. Something bad got in.
Yeah.
At that, I thought, ooh, that's why things are different. Excellent. That's so smart.
Yeah.
Something got in there, made relationships disintegrate. People forgot other people. That's great. Made things so much more better than the editors going, we had an idea and it didn't work out. Sorry.
Yeah, and I like the some of the imagery that they chose, like Ollie and Diana, right, yeah. Or Dinah. Like every time they'd see each other, they knew something was there, but they couldn't just place it. It just the visual elements that they chose to use, freaking brilliant.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
And just like him trying to, I love that he came to Batman first. And
yeah.
In and go, I don't know who you are, go away. He's like, whoa, you're somebody that I should know, let me help you. And that was great, because everybody else that he ran to afterwards went, I don't know you.
Yeah.
I mean, even the one, and I hope this seems to be the case, they made him young again, and he's not married to Linda Park, but he remembers being married to Linda Park, but
yeah.
She's younger. And so he runs to her, and it was great because he does this whole monologue about you and me together forever, baby. We've beaten things in the past, and with your help, oh man, I'm coming home. And she goes, yeah, I don't know who you are.
Yeah, just that gut shot. It's like, oh.
And the fact that he's breaking down more and more through the whole darn thing.
Yep.
And they set up things like the Aquaman thing wasn't changed. I mean, that's still him and Mara.
Mm-hmm.
But the two Blue Beetles, Ted Kord is back.
Yeah.
That is brilliant because as much as you love Ted Kord, he doesn't need to be in the outfit. There was no real reason, even during his Justice League days, what did he do? I have his original comic issues. He never was more active than in there. And then once he was part of the goofy Justice League, he ran around, he didn't do much. So let the guy with the scarab attached to his back be the one to go into action. That's great. I love that whole and the Atom. We got both Atoms.
Yeah.
Not that I cared about the second one. I mean, but again, it at least ties everything together.
Yeah, it's a way to link things.
Ray Palmer's a teacher. You know, so he could be like they could be like a buddy cop, you know.
Yeah.
Type of dynamic between the student and teacher. How do you like once he does come back, that whole thing with Barry.
Yeah.
That whole like, holy crap, how could I have forgotten you?
Yeah, that was I got a little choked up, I'll freely admit.
Yep.
And I like how they even kind of touched on the fact that there was another Wally West.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Because that was the thing. I'm like, all right, so what, are they going to get rid of the black one?
Yeah.
Hey, if he has to make the sacrifice, bye. You haven't been around that often. I have no connection to you. Give me my Wally West.
Yeah.
Oh, we get to have both.
Yeah, and I like how he jokes about, or there was a little, that line of originality with naming or something like that.
That was great.
That was a nice little rub, you know.
I know cousins who have the same name. That makes absolute sense. Brilliantly done.
Absolutely.
Love it. And I don't know what he's going to be called, because I didn't read it yet, what Wally's going to be called in his new outfit.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I love that we still get to keep him. They're not going, no, 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 I'm here and now I'm gone forever.
Yeah.
Like, no, we get him. Let him be around. And then the whole, they show, here's the timeline I remember. Well, now that I'm back, here's the timeline again, but notice the subtle differences. Barry is in his newer Flash outfit
mm-hmm.
instead of the original. His Teen Titans that he was part of did exist. But Robin is in the newer outfit. You know, things like that. Like, oh, that's good stuff. Because you can't put him back in the pixie boots.
No.
I don't like the new Robin outfit with the way they have the R closer to the shoulder.
It's weird, but I think that's going to be one of those things like the yellow line around the bat symbol. It's going to probably gradually shift.
I agree. I think it will too, because they have those unnecessary circles around the pits that, you know what I mean? And if they just shifted the R over more where it was, I wouldn't have an issue with it. You know what I mean? But there's certain lines in that design that I'm like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
You're mucking up the waters. So things like that. And then, let me think. Two big surprises at the end. Batman finding in the Batcave. Now this is gutsy and I love it.
Yeah.
You own Watchmen.
Yep.
Start using them.
And I like how they had included that. That was beautifully done. And I like how essentially the beginning of it, if you're paying attention to the very first, I'll say page, it's the first couple panels, and you're reading the dialogue or the text.
Yep.
It basically tells you what they're planning without actually telling you.
I know.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, the whole thing about the stupid watch seems familiar to me from something, and I couldn't place it at the time because it'd been years since I read it.
Yep.
I'm like, and then when Batman pulls the thing out of the wall, I'm like, oh my God.
That's just the Watchmen. Well, holy crap. And then the thing on Mars.
Yep.
Where the watch gets fixed and put back together, it's Dr. Manhattan. It's got to be Dr. Manhattan.
Yep. And I like how they're basically saying during the experience or during the moment of Flashpoint, Dr. Manhattan decided, well, why not create my own world, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just that random happenstance of something unbeknownst to someone else has the effects of something else being, you know, colliding with it, you know.
It's amazing. Oh, I can't wait to see what happens next. Right now, like I said, I'm on issue 46 of Batman, so I need to have Bruce come back, and then
what's going on in the Batman comic right now for you?
Okay, Flower Guy just attacked the
Professor Bloom, yeah.
Sure. Just attack the room full of guests at the banquet where they were going to announce, like, basically she was going to fire Commissioner Gordon as Batman.
Yeah.
And then he shows up. So, oh, and Bruce just made a jungle gym out of, or a playground out of the stuff that the Joker had taken from the Batcave.
Okay. So you're right near where things start getting.
Oh, yeah.
pretty good.
Yeah.
Has he had an encounter with somebody at a bench yet?
No. I know that's coming. I know it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Oh, I know. Everybody talks about it. I gotta... Oh. Anyway, we got a couple more minutes. Let's dive into movies quick.
I actually have about 20 minutes yet. So.
Okay, good.
I know how we like to...
All right, let me just jump around. Have we talked about... No. Let's go backwards. What'd you think of X-Men Apocalypse?
Really enjoyed it. I think, again, Quicksilver stole the show.
Sure.
I liked how they showed the gradual change in the Havoc character.
Okay.
And I liked the way they finally allowed Mora to remember.
Yep.
That I loved. I think it was a very well done movie. My heart broke for Magneto though, because he finally started to find peace. And
I know I winced. I out loud. Mike even looked at me because Mikey and I went.
Yeah.
That arrow through both of them, like oh.
Yeah, and it was like just like son of a. Man finally gets some peace.
Yep, wasn't bothering anybody, and now you just ticked him off.
Now, I love how they definitely captured the time frame that the movie was supposed to take place in.
So here's the thing. First of all, I had no problem with this movie at all. I didn't care about the movie because the last one I loved so much. And when I saw the previews for this, I'm like, I don't care about Apocalypse. I never liked Apocalypse. Whatever. There's nothing that's blowing my skirt up about seeing this movie. But because it's part of a series, and also it's a superhero movie, I have to see it.
Yep.
Then I go in, and I'm like, I'm waiting for those moments where I'm going to go, no, but that didn't happen. I walked out of there, I said...
It was very well done.
I had no problem whatsoever. That's the way to say it. Like, is it the best out of the three, or any of them? No.
No. It's a solid movie, absolutely.
Exactly. There's nothing bad about it. Despite the fact that, you know, it could be all nitpicky like everybody else is going, didn't look like the Apocalypse like you could have had him. It should have been just like it was in the comic. Yes. Sure it should have. It didn't ruin the movie for me.
No, it didn't.
And I love the fact, and this is smart. Part of me goes, all right, enough of these. Enough of the prequels. Which, I guess they still have to do prequels if they're going to do more X-Men movies, but... According to what I read, and again, it's only rumor, they may finally be merging with Marvel.
Really?
Yeah. It's only at the rumor stage right now, but it was on CBR, Comic Book Resources, yesterday.
They usually
where Fox
and their research, yeah.
Yeah, where Fox went, we might be willing to play ball with Marvel, because they want to do like a crossover with Avengers.
I mean, it'd be smart for both of them to bury their egos and just...
And Marvel's like, come on, come to us. We're doing it right. Come.
Well, you know, we've got endless reserves of cash, you know,
exactly.
Come on.
We're part of Disney now. So now it looks like hopefully, and I hope this is all true, Fox is going to go, fine, you can oversee all our movies and blah, 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 blah. But the fact that the last movie reset everything, we're now... They can retell stories that you already... Because remember, this movie starts off with Scott Summers being first introduced to the school.
Yep.
We know in the original trilogy that's not how it happened.
Yeah.
You know, but because of what happened in the second one...
Absolutely.
Everything changed. I love, love, love that. Because Wolverine goes back and everything's changed for him in a good way.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant, love it, and they're free now. They don't have to go, wait, we can't do that because in the second movie this happened. Stryker is in the new movie too.
Yep.
And Mikey's looking at me, he goes, I don't know who that is. I'm like, you will. Because he hasn't seen all the other X-Men movies. This is basically his first.
Okay.
So.
Not a bad one for him.
No. He's happy with all of that anyway, and once he goes back and sees the others, he'll see, oh wow, that's why that happened. You know, and again, multiple viewings of good movies, he's going to know the in and out anyway.
Yeah.
Turtles. Did you see Turtles?
No.
I'll tell you. There was in the first one, I had obviously had a lot of problems because they didn't look like our turtles. They were too big. They had people faces. They had noses. And they all kind of... he took liberties. You know, originally he wanted to make them aliens. But I watched it, took Mikey to see it, and then the first one, there was three good action scenes. Everything else, I was like, I don't care. This, whatever. Just the second one, much better.
Okay.
So much better. It was fun. It's never going to be as good as the Nickelodeon show that's on right now. That's brilliant. That's perfection. But I was glad I went. This wasn't work to get through. This was fun. It was exciting. There was edge of your seat excitement. You know, they fleshed out the characters better. And again, you're going for a lighthearted popcorn movie. So I went in with that in mind.
All right.
So that happened. If when you get to catch it on Netflix or whatever, enjoy.
Yeah, with those, just because it was Michael Bay, and I'm like, he's gonna have to basically come to me for me to see it. Well, now the first one's on Netflix. I'll sit down, I'll watch it, and then I'll go through and watch the second one eventually when that comes this way too.
Yep. And like I said, the first one will be the one that you have to work at to get through. But it's fine. Whatever. It doesn't kill anybody. But it's funny because Michael Bay loves his cars, and what did he have Casey Jones driving in this movie? A Mustang, just like Bumblebee. It was black, but it was like, oh, I see what you're doing there. Da, 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 da. And at one point they do like Michelangelo goes out on the street during Halloween because he could blend in, and there's a guy dressed as Bumblebee, and he can transform himself, scooch down back into a car. You've seen the video, I'm sure, on Facebook.
I think so, yeah.
Same guy. They throw him in there. Which is a nice little, people who know he's referencing his own movie.
Yeah, way to stroke your own ego there.
Yeah. Honestly. Did we talk about Civil War? I think we did.
I think we did talk about Civil War.
Okay, so we don't have to rehash that. Love, 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 love.
Oh, absolutely.
Love.
Did you see, you probably haven't seen it yet. Independence Day Resurgence.
No. No, and I haven't heard good things. I heard it's... here's the thing. I do want to see it. Do I want to go to the movies and see it? Not if I have to pay for it. I don't, because...
Well, here's the thing. I don't know who's been telling you it's bad.
Okay.
They're...
out of their mind?
Yeah, it was an enjoyable movie. If they're expecting it to be, you know, the second coming of sliced bread, they're deluding themselves. It was a very well-done follow-up. The problem that they probably have is, well, they're probably upset because the damn trailer didn't spoil anything for them.
Which is great.
Which most trailers out there, guaranteed they give you the opening scene, most of the fighting scenes, and a scene from the last 10 minutes of the film. Not the case with this. It was very well done. Yes, people died. Is it a good solid sequel to Independence Day? Absolutely.
Good.
And it makes sense why it was 20 years later, you know.
Sure.
It's very well done, and I would definitely be buying it when it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray, whichever, you know.
Sure.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was a good solid follow-up. And yeah, they allude in this one definitely that there could be a sequel, so they could finish it out with a trilogy.
Okay. I just, what's his name? They're the same guys who did Stargate. And
Dean Devlin, yeah.
Was it Roland Emmerich?
Yes.
Okay. I remember we've had this conversation up there scoffing at the television show. We have nothing to tell.
Yeah.
So because of that, and because they decide to wrongfully ignore the fantastic franchise that was already built despite them.
Yeah.
A franchise
that was built that actually, you know, made Stargate worthwhile.
Right. And a household.
But who are we to say otherwise? Oh, wait, we're the fans.
anything they do, I've got a bit of spitefulness in me just because I'm like, I'm not going to shell out more money to you when I have that Blu-ray or what commentary track where they scoff at the show. And I'm like, you know what? I'll be okay staying home. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if the Stargate movies end up happening, as a fan, I will begrudgedly...
Oh, I'll go see them.
I will have to go see. But I'm going to be extremely hypercritical.
Oh,
if it does not grab my attention like the initial, like the original movie did, I will probably want to hunt someone down and kick them in the groin.
Well, yeah, apparently what they're doing is starting from scratch, which yeah. They have to do if they're going to do their original story, blah, blah, blah. It's already steam and pile for me because you're not attached to, or at least, you know, just sucking it up and realizing that somebody did your own thing better than you
intended. And actually did you a favor by keeping it alive.
And did you a bit, yeah. Yeah, they improved upon everything that you wanted to do. Good, take it and run, because you have the rights. You should have just scooped it up, just like, oh, by the way, all of us want, and just either do a TV show again or do your movies or whatever, but connect it to the freaking show.
Yep, connect it and just get over the ego.
Yeah.
Because egos cause so many problems.
But instead, because they're still so intent on, no, we're doing our originals. We're doing the trilogy we wanted to do. All right, the time has passed, but go ahead. They have to recast. They have to redo it. I understand that. I get that. If you're going to be stubborn, that's the way to do that original story if you have to do it again.
Yeah.
But you kind of look pathetic going, no, wait, do-over. We want to do a do-over. Really? Yeah.
Just frustrating.
Yeah. Next time, everybody should be checking out the MacGyver podcast, the other podcast we do. Just a little tip I'm going to share. We have not been fans of, and we apparently speak for a whole majority of people who do not want the...
Honoring, actually.
Huh?
Which makes me feel rather honored that, you know, we seem to have a united voice behind us that neither of us truly realized, I guess.
I know, but I love them all. Tune in to the next episode of that, because I got to have a correspondence with the showrunner of the show, Peter Lenkoff, who's going to come on an episode of the podcast soon as he's done with
the post-production, I think.
Yeah, post-production of the podcast and everything. Because they had to reshoot the pilot, and that's a rant for another day, but...
Can always listen to that one already, because we did record that one.
Yeah, but on the next one, I'm going to share with everybody what was said in the meantime from him, and just the whole bunch of praise that I have for him, despite our very vocal fears of a show which could have been done. If they connected it to the original series, this could have been, and I even told him so. This would have been a cakewalk. This would have been, you would have been successful despite any mistakes you could have possibly made.
Mm-hmm.
But despite that, he handled himself listening to our episode, at least the last one he listened to, and corresponding with me in a wonderful way that I will share with everybody. So go in, look up the MacGyver podcast. Let us know what you think.
Stitcher or iTunes. Let us know.
Also, same with this. You know, we need your support. We need your
feedback.
Your feedback. Your listening. Your rating. Go in and just look at it. I realized as I'm preaching that to everybody for us, I'm like, wait a minute. Nate and I listen to a lot of podcasts throughout the day. We go back and forth recommending to each other.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I should probably go in and actually 5-star a whole bunch of these that I know I just love. So I did.
Yeah, I've actually started doing that when I'm waiting for stuff to print out or whatever. I'll sit there if I'm not – well, actually, I think I've done it while listening to a podcast. I'll be like, all right, well, let's see. I really like this one. You know, I kind of like this one, you know, and I'll I'll make remarks, and I try not to make it a generic remark like, oh, you know, great podcast, great way to kill an hour or so. You know, I try to, like, hit something about it that I like the one that you recommended, We're Still Alive. I haven't commented on it yet, but I have it saved on my notepad on my phone. I really like how immersive the sound is. It's amazing.
But see, and I felt like a hypocrite because I am telling everybody, go 5-star us because it helps with, you know, exposure and letting people know. But I wasn't doing it for anybody else. So now I've done it and fixed it.
Yeah. So folks, if you like what you're listening to, whether it be us or, you know, whatever, let those respective podcasts know. Exactly. It helps us all.
All right. And we will catch you guys next time. As always, thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
See you.
Thanks for listening. Music was provided by Harmony Constant. Subscribe to us on iTunes, YouTube, Facebook, and Stitcher.